Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine, and we're talking about our kitchen renovations that we've done. Tony did one a few years ago, and I'm in the midst of mine. And we also just built a restaurant kitchen, so it's really on our minds, I think.
Yeah, so a lot of kitchen equipment and bills for kitchen equipment on our minds.
Definitely.
I'm curious, like I said, when we were talking about my kitchen, because I live with my mistake every day of not putting a second sink in there.
Right.
You know, I'm curious if you've what are the things that you hated about the kitchen that was there, and what are the things you're trying to achieve with the kitchen that you're trying to build?
Sorry to the people that used to own my home.
Who I'm sure were lovely.
I'm sure they're very lovely, but I don't like anything about the kitchen. It's pink, and it's the stove. Well, you know, when I bought the house, the dishwasher, the rinse cycle went into the basement, you know, so I had to change that immediately. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, you know, there were some issues.
That's an unusual. What manufacturer of dishwasher is it that rinses into the basement?
I don't remember, but it was really not the way it should have been.
Not functional. Yeah.
So there were just a number of issues. It's just an older kitchen. It was probably built in the 80s, and that's fine. I'm sure it was gorgeous at the time, but it's also, I'm a professional chef, so there are certain things. But actually, that has been part of my struggle, is the fact that I'm a professional chef, and do I want restaurant equipment in my kitchen, or do I want something that feels more homey?
Well, the question is, I mean, what do you make most frequently at home?
Right.
What do you want to make at home? I mean, that was the question I tried to answer with mine.
Right. And, you know, obviously I need to be able to cook breakfast, so I really wanted to put a griddle top in. And the other things that, you know, I'm not home that often, so when I am, it's Sunday night dinner, perhaps, or it's cooking for a party. So I wanted to be able to handle a party and yet have a kitchen that was really comfortable. And one of the exciting things about my kitchen, when I bought my house, I have a local contractor that works and does a lot of sort of artisanal work on my house because it is 108 years old and has, you know, just anyway, we were in the basement and he realized that the hearth you could see the hearth from what was probably an old wood stove up in my kitchen. You can see it in the ceiling of the basement. So I got really excited when he said it was a hearth, realizing that there is, of course, the chimney is right there. So I thought, oh my gosh, it would be so great to have a fireplace that I could cook in my kitchen.
Many small animals you would catch in your yard.
Well, no, but there are, but no, I wouldn't do that. But I do want to be able to, you know, roast a quail or grill a piece of meat over a wood-burning fire in my stove, in my fireplace. So thankfully, that part has come to life.
That's
so
awesome.
We have made that happen, which my current contractor is Bear Construction, and Jeff Bear is amazing. He's a wonderful man, and they're just doing a great job. So the brick masons have done their work, and pretty soon the stone masons will come in and do the rest of the work. And we made as big of an opening as possible so that I could put as much equipment in there as possible. But it's going to be old world stuff. You know, it's going to be simple old world cooking. So that was a big goal, and now I've decided to put banquette seating across from that. And, you know, I thought about getting just a settee or something for my table, but the more and more I think about it, I just want to have a banquette. I want people to be able to hang out.
A banquette is essentially a sofa that's built into the wall.
Exactly.
Like you might see in a lot of restaurants.
Right. And it's going to be gray velvet, and it's going to be beautiful and tufted and high-backed, and we're going to build an L into it. And that way, you know, you can just really, the family can hang out there, because I do have a small kitchen, and I actually only have one living space in my first floor. I don't have a family room and a living room. So my kitchen kind of becomes my family room, even though it's small. And then the other goal was to restore the original wood floor, you know, and of course I didn't know until we did the demo as to what condition that floor would be in, and come to find out there probably used to be a porch in my kitchen.
Your kitchen probably was the porch.
Exactly, or part of it was, certainly. Yeah. So there is, you know, there's flooring that's got a lot of trouble, and so we're going to actually put in an old reclaimed floor now, but at least I will have an old wood floor, so that was another goal. And my biggest decision was cabinetry and my stove. And I went back and forth. I thought about a commercial range. You know, I went to Wolf, which I was very excited to have.
It's nice to have those ranges named after you.
It is. It was so thoughtful of them. And but anyway, which is a great stove. But I ended up going with La Cornue, and La Cornue makes the Chateau series, which
is very expensive,
made out of like solid cast iron that will last, you know, the next five generations. And they make a line called Cornue Fay, and that is, you know, I think geared probably towards the American public. You know, also with the Chateau series, it takes three months to have it made. They're amazing stoves, but amazingly expensive. So with the Cornue Fay, you have a much less expensive stove, you know, commercial, you know, it's competitive with Wolf or whoever, or Viking, or any of the things that a lot of people are using. in their homes, and it's a beautiful stove, and it looks old world. And I want my kitchen to look like a very small, but a chateau kitchen. You know, an old French kitchen. That's what I'm aiming for.
That you're chasing that aesthetic.
I'm chasing it big time. My contractor's got these great old wood beams that they're going to install into my ceiling. We pulled down the ceiling. We probably grabbed another 9 inches. So I think I have 10 feet in my kitchen now, which is going to be great. And so definitely, you know, and the only really commercial piece I went with was my refrigerator. And I went with a smaller one because, as we just talked about, you know, I've got two down in my basement and I don't need a huge refrigerator in my kitchen. And I've lost cabinetry space because of my fireplace. So
you have to be really efficient with how you store your...
I really do.
That's one thing I had to figure out, because I have decent storage underneath the counters in mine, but I don't have any cabinetry really up above the counter besides one. Otherwise, I have open shelves because, you know, I can't stand doors on like wine glass cabinets and whatnot, because I don't want the glasses to smell like the cabinet.
Right.
And I don't want the glasses to have like trapped cooking aromas or something in them. So,
yeah,
you know,
that makes a difference. Well, it's also handier to just be able to reach into a shelf rather than open the
doors. It just means you have to have things organized and looking nice, or you drive yourself crazy.
Well, and the other thing I did, because I knew I was going to lose cabinetry space, because I absolutely agree, I do not like overhead cabinets. So above where my stove is, that whole wall has the sink, my dishwasher, and then some under cabinetry, and nothing above it. So the only thing on that wall would be the hood and the window. And it's going to feel so much better. But then what am I going to do with all my pots and pans? So I've always seen those pictures of Julia Child's kitchen where she had the pegboard up, which I think is just like an amazing idea, because I love the idea, again, as a professional chef,
she's a big hero of yours.
She is a big hero of mine, absolutely. And to be able to just reach for it. But then I don't like hanging pot racks. And I don't have a center island, so I couldn't have one. So I put the pegboard up before we ever did the demo for the kitchen in my, I have a back stair up to my second floor, and, you know, right against the wall. I mean, you can still use the staircase really well, actually. All my pots and pans are hanging in my staircase on this pegboard, and it's great, and it's right there, and I can close the door. So either I can look at it, or I don't have to look at it, and it's just super handy. And that really helped me to solve the fact that I was taking up all this space for the fireplace and not going to have this cabinetry that I really probably needed.
How much counter space do you end up with? How much counter space do you think is reasonable for one busy cook to have in the kitchen?
Well, I probably have about 12 feet of cabinet space,
linear counter space.
And maybe 14, actually. And then I have another area where when I walk into my kitchen on the left, I call it the wine area or the service area.
You think of as like a butler's pantry kind of an area.
Yeah, which is where I do have open shelving. I did the same thing that we did at Larendale at our house. So it's open shelving, and underneath is closed cabinetry. And then I have a countertop there, and that's the only place where I have overhead cabinetry, and it's a work area. I'll be opening wine there, decanting wine, the service, you know, if you're doing a party. Why are you smiling?
I'm smiling because you said you're going to be decanting wine there.
I am going to.
I've not watched you decant a
lot of wine. Somebody's got to.
I've not watched you decant a lot of wine.
Well, that's because awesome. You used to do it, so there, that's... anyway. It's a great work area. So also, because I don't have the convenience of having a big enough kitchen that I could have a separate, you know, kind of front of the house space, back of the house space during a party, it does give them an area where they can work. Yes, I wish that I could have a sink over there, but it's just not going to happen.
Just thinking about your counter also, what did you, because I know I did everything, it's funny, my kitchen, the walls are all brick, but I felt like it would stay warm if I kept it all stainless steel and super functional for the counters and the cabinets and all that kind of business, which is not so homey. What did you end up doing for your counters?
I'm very excited. I just went out to Universal Marble and Granite, which is in Halethorpe. Oh my gosh, that place is amazing. It's like an old airplane hangar. Actually, it was built in the 50s. They apparently made aluminum there. It was an aluminum plant. Super cool place. People that work there are so, so nice. And they just have tons of marble out there. So I went out and picked this piece that's sort of burgundy with red parts and pale green and blue. It's from their kind of archives area. And I mean, it was just amazing to go out there and see this place. So I picked that because my kitchen is going, you know, my stove is glossy black. I have stainless steel equipment and I have a fireplace and I have cabinetry that's kind of whitish, creamy color.
So you need something warm.
I need color somewhere. Yeah. And my floor is going to be a wood floor. So yeah, and the other colors will be gray. What little wall space I have will be gray, and the banquette will be gray. So yes, the marble countertop, and I struggled with that too. I almost started off doing stainless steel, and you know, went to granite. I don't know, doesn't appeal to me. That's me. That's my personal feeling. And so I love marble, and I think marble's an amazing thing. So it was kind of cool to be able to pick out this old piece of marble and have all this beautiful color.
Is there a reason that you wouldn't have chosen the marble? Is it because it's so porous?
That's it. You know, I worry about, you know, you can't put a lot of things on there. If you do spill wine, you know, you need to wipe it up. You know, you have to be worried about your acid level of anything that hits a marble surface. So you have to be really conscientious. But then that's the way I work in a kitchen anyway. You know, it's the way we work. So it's always, you know, our philosophy in the kitchen is you work, you wipe. So once we plate something, we're immediately wiping our workstation. So I'm just used to working that way.
So Cindy, besides equipment, besides the range, and refrigeration and sink and that sort of thing, what other sort of equipment do you think is good to have? And what are you thinking about for your home kitchen? You know, I guess I think of some things as sort of like cheater equipment, whether it's like microwaves or
right.
You know, some kind of warming drawer or warming oven.
Well, when I was out looking at a commercial type equipment for the home, I did notice that they do have warming drawers. And if you have room for that, that would be so nice. And actually, a friend of mine has a warming drawer in her kitchen, and I know she uses it for, you know, basically you can put what we call hotel pans in there, but ninth pans, sixth pans, so small containers can sit in there. It'll keep it at a warm temperature. And I know that she'll make something for dinner. Maybe her son is coming home later, then he can just help himself to this warm food, which I think is great. And also, it's fantastic if you're having a party. I mean, you could keep a sauce in there.
So this is something that's like under the oven and the range, or is this something that's like under counter?
It's under counter. And, you know, I think that's would be so helpful. If I had had room, I absolutely would have put one in. And it's about the size of a hotel pan. And I'm not sure how many inches that is, but I think they're like 24, something like that.
24 by 23 and a half.
Yeah. So it's, you know, that's super helpful. And also, you know, do you want, I think the other thing is, I don't know if it's a helpful piece of equipment, but you want to consider or not if you want to have a separate ice maker. And I think that's also fantastic when you're having a party, because it just gives you a bunch of ice and you don't have to buy anything. And
that's my other fail in my home kitchen.
Yeah, I wish I had room for that.
I have no ice on the, I have to go to the basement for ice.
Yeah, that's a bit of an
issue.
It's
not a popular decision.
Yeah,
I
debated with that with my refrigerator. I really thought about doing a solid one-door refrigerator because I don't ever have frozen product at my house unless it's ice. But I ended up putting it in because I think it would be irritating to have to go to the basement to get the ice cubes. So, but, you know, as far as a microwave, I think, again, that's a personal decision. I would never have a microwave in my kitchen.
A microwave is a personal decision?
Yeah, I think it is a personal decision. I mean, I would tell you don't do it, but don't have one. But, you know, anyway, but you have to make room for that. I would build it in. If I was going to have a microwave, I'd be sure it was built in.
One of the things that's sort of funny to talk about home kitchens for us is we've built so many restaurant kitchens over the years, and the evolution of them what do you think has stayed the most the same from the kitchen we built in, say, 97 to the kitchen we built most recently? What is the one thing that has stayed the same?
Well, we pretty well designed. They all end up being very, very similar as far as what equipment we need. It's the space that dictates how much equipment you get to put in. And, you know, with the idea, you know, basically at Charleston is I have a kind of a classic French brigade system set up. And, you know, the cooks look at each other. They have two cooking batteries, the grill and fryer station, and then you have saute and the oven station.
This would be a lot in your house.
That would be a whole lot in your house. But the idea, I think, for the restaurant that's changed is, you know, the last one that we built, we went to Vulcan, which is a local manufacturer of kitchen equipment, which you and I have always supported as much as we can, local manufacturers, local producers of food, farmers, whatever. And, you know, going there and seeing, first of all, walking in there was really cool because it had this really old stove.
Well, it had the whole history of their ranges, yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing. I want that old stove so badly. You know, to go in there and to make a decision that was a big decision for us to decide to go with all their equipment. And I'm really excited about it. It's heavy duty. And, you know, I think that's one of the things is, you know, they just, the way they manufacture things have changed over the last 16 years.
The thing that struck me that was interesting, most interesting, the ranges that we chose for this restaurant are the common sense of a couple things that have come back from many years ago. for the last several decades, they've been doing these spring-weighted doors, right?
Right.
And you end up with irritating repair bills every month on the spring-weighted doors.
Because the spring goes.
Because the springs go.
And then you have doors falling on
so
your
what,
cook's
what,
knees.
So what they used to do, you know, 60, yeah. 70 years ago, because the first ranges I ever worked on were these ranges. There were heart ranges from like the 1940s.
Oh, yeah, wow.
And they had these super heavy doors that were counterbalanced on, you know, just on a hinge, and that's it. The new technology from the 1920s probably that Vulcan is using on their ranges is to have counterbalanced really heavy doors.
Which is great.
That are well insulated, and the hinge will never go, and the spring will never go.
I think that's the other cool thing about those stoves is it is not convected. It goes up to 600 degrees, and you just have the potential for serious heat, and you don't really need the convection.
Yeah, convections are not my favorite thing, and especially...
It's hard on the food.
Well, it dries out food.
Absolutely,
like, exactly how many things do you want to be drier than they naturally should be? Coming out of your oven to serve to your
guests.
Well,
we don't cook with lids in a restaurant. You know, we don't put things in an oven with a lid on it. So it's not going to be in a moist environment where it's steaming itself. In a dry baking environment, it steams itself if it has a lid because of the moisture.
So you have 30 seconds to tell me your biggest home kitchen fail, cooking-wise.
What? I can't. I'd need longer than 30 seconds. I can't think. Why? Do you have one in mind?
I have one in mind that I
for
did.
You?
Yeah.
Not for me.
No, for you.
Why don't we talk about yours?
I put a pan that I was working on a range many, many years ago.
Oh, no.
I put a pan that was sauteing on the top in the oven. And, of course, melted the plastic handle on the pan
in the oven. That's terrible.
It was, you know,
yeah,
any
I would
idea
never do
what
that.
My apartment smelled like?
Gosh, I'm sure it was smelling like burnt plastic, which is pretty horrifying.
We'll try to move forward from burnt plastic when we come back on Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine.
Give you a better aroma.
We have the aroma of many email questions that have come to us and also a producer segment coming up with the excellent story of Winderly Winery in the Willamette Valley in Oregon.